To my dearest friends, I am honored to welcome you back once more for a special investigation into a class of planet which most would consider to be utterly forbidden to all but the ancient lords who cast aside their souls to arise as the immortal race known simply as the Necrons. Across the vast expanse of our galaxy, we will find billions of stars surrounded by an uncountable sum of worlds, many of which, if left to flourish, could very well harbor the great gift of life. But around one such star, cast to the farthest frontier of Segmentum Pacificus, we will find an isolated world, hanging in orbit like a forgotten relic, cast to endlessly drift against the true enormity of the void. This planet, known simply as Volanum, was first formed in the primordial years of our galaxy, and all who were to look upon it today would very much believe that it had been almost entirely untouched by the passing chaos of time. The pale light from its parental star bathed the arid deserts and mountains below in an eerie half-light, revealing only a sprawling vista of abandonment and ruin. Passing through the dense clouds, the dried-up ocean beds would come into view, once home to vibrant ecosystems, now simply cursed to remain as an inhospitable realm of death. The distant dunes, often buffeted by great storms, would be lifted into the harsh winds, carrying the lifeless sands across the world, producing vast, hazy fields, sure to erode even the mountains themselves if given enough time. To look from orbit, one may very well see the drifting dunes of the desert as being so regular that it would almost be akin to the world breathing deeply and sighing at its own desolation. But to look closer, we would find that the godforsaken landscapes are not entirely bereft of history. Scattered with a sense of reckless abandon, we will spy the barren, skeletal remains of civilizations long past, protruding as the gravestones to their fallen kind. Colossal structures, which likely towered up to the heavens themselves, had crumbled, eroding away beneath the harsh and ceaseless gaze of the stars. No building, however mighty it may have been, can endure the constant grinding of the sands, ever gnawing into their frames, until one day, at long last, they will inevitably fall. The howling winds rushing through the ruined cityscapes would occasionally lift up the surface layer of sand, revealing the mass graves of those aliens who once called this place as their home. Arranged as though they were a part of a great one-sided battle, their skeletal remains have long since been bleached to a harsh white, scorched by the countless years spent beneath the unforgiving gaze of their sun. There was no sanctuary to be found amidst the dead, no secretive bunkers to seek shelter, and in truth, there could be nowhere upon this world where life could once again thrive. The skies, though somewhat clear, were only interrupted by the passing clouds of sand, though the shade they brought would do very little to shield those below from the searing heat, relentlessly bearing down from on high. This heat would be truly suffocating, making each breath to burn the backs of one's throat, punishing them for ever choosing to land upon these grounds. And yet, in many ways, Volanum was an uncut jewel of the cosmos. Over the long years, many lords and rogue traders of the Imperium of Man had surveyed these lands from high orbit, and in every instance, they had painted a picture most enticing. Deep below the sands, their sensors had detected great veins of valuable resources, with rare mineral stores here being so vast that they could fuel the ravenous foundries of a forge world for centuries to come. Furthermore, they believed that if they were to construct a subterranean settlement, that humanity could perhaps colonize this planet, being kept safe from the ionizing rays above. And yet, in all the time since their first scans, none have ever dared to see this plan through to fruition. For you see, in addition to detecting the natural bounty of rare resources, their planetary scans also revealed a presence far more insidious and far more ancient, lurking deep below the surface. In truth, if they were to mine down to the minerals and metals, they would inevitably come into contact with the venerable slumbering overlords to this world, and these would be the Necrons. In an ancient age, long before the earliest ancestors of mankind had even begun to walk upon two legs, the Necrontyr had abandoned their feeble and crippled bodies, choosing instead to ascend as immortal beings, clad in a new frame of living metal. But after being weakened from the cataclysmic war in heaven, they were forced to retreat deeply into their tomb worlds, where they would enter into a state of hibernation to simply wait out the passing ages of the galaxy until the time would be ripe for them to emerge and reclaim that which was lost. And thus, it was not only the surface of Volanum which was to be feared, and in truth, it was the nightmare which lurked beneath, the one which patiently awaited for its grand reawakening that would repel all from ever claiming this world as their own. The actual tomb complex, though buried far beneath the surface, stretched out far beyond the meek confines of a single structure. Ever since its first construction, it had only grown and grown, swelling in size and scope, until it wrapped itself around the entirety of the planet, capable of sustaining tens, or perhaps even hundreds of billions, of individual Necrons. The vast labyrinthine tangle of walkways and passages jutted through the sheer mantle, creating an intricate web of monoliths, crypts, and stasis chambers, which all together, on a macro scale, mapped out a series of alien glyphs, unknown to all but the dynastic lords themselves. If the meddlesome technophants of the Mechanicus were permitted to truly study this world in any capacity beyond a pathetic planetary scan, then they would likely catch only the faintest glimpse of these colossal sigils before their presence was once again lost to the shifting sands. Within the deserts themselves, scarcely to be detected by any but the most discerning of observers, we will find a near unending swarm of metallic scarabs and spiders. These machines are not to be considered as sentient, as in fact, they only exist to maintain a constant vigil over the tomb, repairing and maintaining facets of the complex when they inevitably fall to damage. These predetermined functions are carried out without pause nor protest, with each scarab moving on towards their new task, as though not a day had passed since their masters first descended into their new morbid homes. In any case, their delicate pincers will seize a hold of power coils before small instruments project out from their carapace, tinkering and replacing microscopic components which could not endure the ceaseless erosion of the sands. The tomb will obviously be sealed to all, with only the scarabs themselves being able to tunnel down towards secretive and temporary openings, always sure to be slammed shut once the machine has entered. But we have not come simply to look upon the buried facade of this vast and ancient complex, and so instead we must follow the scarabs and enter their silent crypt. Entering into the bowels of the tomb, we will be met with the true immensity of the Necron architecture. Each passageway, some so wide that they could be used as a marching ground for an entire Imperial Guard regiment, will be starkly black, being constructed out of an exotic mix of black stone and of the same living metal alloys which were used to produce the necrodermis frames of their species. Any power couplings or transmitters will be completely hidden from sight, being interwoven within the greater structure, channeling the mind-bogglingly large energy requirements through to even the most distant of rooms. Interspaced, seemingly at random, though likely with an express purpose, we will find that the walls have been engraved with deeply cut glyphs and sigils glowing dimly with a dull green light. From these, a constant hum will reverberate out, being almost imperceptible to all, unless they truly take pause and soak their senses in the crushing atmosphere of this horrifying subterranean realm. Occasionally, the glyphs will pulse with energy, absorbing new surges of power, rushing forth to the stasis crypts of lords and chattel warriors alike, each slumbering in cold isolation, their consciousness drifting through the void of time, utterly dependent on the systems they built over 60 million years ago. Venturing down through the eerie catacombs, we will inevitably emerge from a passageway within the very heart of a stasis chamber intended for the aforementioned warriors of their kind. In the bygone age of the biotransference, all of the mortals who once served the noble Necrontyr were destined to join in the undying legions as a new class of common soldiery who would silently serve their masters and never question their new station in this nightmare of false life. But in any case, row upon row of the warriors will be found, all lined up in vast storage cells, their metallic bodies anchored in place, and forever locked in their trance of slumber, until one of their lords reawakens to spur them into life once more. These chambers were never erected with comfort in mind, and instead, they were built simply to maximize the potential storage space for their kind. But this matters very little to those who have now slumbered for untold millions of years. Time truly has no meaning for those within the tomb. And to the common warriors, their neural engrams have been so heavily castrated that they would scarcely be able to comprehend even the concept of the passing eons. The flickering green glow of their dimmed life support systems will be the only source of light within these terrible crypts, occasionally illuminating a sleeping Necron for but the briefest moment before fading back into the dark. But if we were to follow the lights, moving out of the lowly utilitarian cells of the warriors, we would eventually emerge in a place far more elaborate and regal. Through wide, ornate halls, one may find themselves within the chambers of the Necron nobility, who have maintained their dynastic birthright since long before their kind ever descended into their tombs. Unlike the faded and cramped cells of the warriors, the architecture of the nobles will be nothing short of magnificent. Colossal obelisks carved with the symbols and glyphs of their dynasty will jut from shadowed pits, craning up to merge with the ceiling above, forming a complex lattice which very likely serves some mysterious purpose to the tomb. The room itself will be bathed in the soft green effulgence emitted by arcane technological structures and power cells, all of which are present to maintain the personalized and ancient life support systems of the noble lords. The nobles themselves were always to be provided with the finest of necrodermis frames, which have ensured that their minds were able to endure the long slumber, meaning that when they do finally reawaken, that they will be just as sharp as they were when they still walked as the mortal Necrontyr. Each lord will possess their own personal stasis crypt, where they may rest in a near-eternal state of pristine glory. But alongside them will be their personal retinue of loyal companions who had served them in life and who would reawaken with their old master once the time came to rise once more. These retainers were always to be interned within their lord's tomb, with their bond of servitude remaining unbroken, even through the turmoil of the long sleep. The contrast between the pristine quarters of the lords and the decaying chambers of the warriors is truly striking. But we must remember that the egotistical and arrogant Necrons only ever cared for the glory of their dynasty, and not for the comforts of their lowest servants. Every system and every possible function had been granted to the lords, and even against the ceaseless march of time, their personal tombs had been perfectly preserved, as if captured in an isolated bubble of history. As we venture deeper into the tomb, we will find some walkways to be similarly illuminated by the sickly green glow cast out from exposed power cells and command nodes. These would pulse in a slow and rhythmic pattern, bathing the labyrinth in an ever-changing, eerie gleam, almost making the tomb feel as though it was trapped in a perpetual twilight. But on occasion, these lights would flicker, and long shadows would be cast from the distance by passing scarabs, mindlessly moving to perform their duties in some far-off place. Some would scuttle across the floors before darting into newly opened gaps between the walls, always to slam shut behind them, whereas others would hover, kept aloft by the arcane technologies of their masters. In any case, as soon as they vanish into the distant gloom, then the constant stillness of the tomb will return, and the eerie silence will wash out to envelop all caught within. If one were to steal one's heart and venture down a lightless passageway, they may very well find themselves in a region of the tomb, quite unlike any other. There are parts of the complex, sometimes being as large as entire continents, where the power has long since died, leaving the labyrinth to truly remain as the final resting grounds for the dead. There will be no hum of energy, no glow of green light, and instead it will truly be silent. There is no maintenance work to perform in these regions, for there is no way of restoring life to that which fell to ruin at this scale. The Necrons once held in stasis within these desolate reaches have long been abandoned, their bodies condemned to decay beneath the inevitable weight of time. Nothing without power may live forever, and so the chamber floors will be littered with the collapsed frames of the warriors, cast out from their storage banks to cover the cold metal grounds in a ruined layer of death. The silence of these graveyards will only be punctuated by the sudden clash of metal tumbling from on high as more and more of the complex languishes and collapses in on itself from the many millennia of neglect. Whilst the dynastic chattel die en masse, the actual lords of these cut-off sectors would still remain alive as the automated systems of the tomb redirect all vestigial sources of power through to their ornate chambers. But even as they receive the lion's share, it still would never be enough to fight against time. In an absence of power, something must give, and for the lords, it will either be their bodies or their minds. Some will find their pristine frames to wither and crumble, but perhaps far worse will be for those whose minds fall into ruin. If they were to ever reawaken, then any shred of cunning or intellect will have eroded, leaving only a hollow shell of a personality in its wake. Some will be driven to madness, forced to endure a new existence, with their mind as a fragmented maelstrom of false memories, twisting them into a sickening reflection of the mortal they once were. The deranged and mindless shadows will be trapped within their cut-off portion of the tomb, entirely bereft of power, forever condemned to remain beneath the grounds of a world which they once called as their home. Thus, these broken lords will stalk the lightless walkways of their catacomb, lost in the chaos of their shattered mind, to be accompanied only by the littered bodies of their followers, who died so that the Lord may live. A tomb may lose power simply due to the ravages of time, slowly eating away at such a rate that the maintenance scarabs cannot keep up. Alternatively, however, at times, the tectonic movements of a world may physically separate huge swathes of the tomb from the greater complex, tearing the dynastic holdings apart, leaving some to be lost to the passing ages. When this occurs, the labyrinth will groan and protest against the world itself, yet there is very little to be done. With the offensive tone of metal creaking and shearing, the ancient structure will be forced to bend to the whims of nature, condemning those within to die a cold and lonely death. But there is no reason to linger in these isolated or abandoned regions. And instead, let us return to the wider and better preserved heart of the tomb. As we venture further down, deeper into the earth, the chambers and pathways will become ever more complex. Yet, there will be an undeniable sense of logic behind their arrangements. Every single detail has been placed with extreme precision, almost as if the very geometry of the tomb was designed to maximize the potential lifespan of those within. Through the metallic passages, arcane glyphs will occasionally flare into life before opening up, revealing yet more secretive chambers and rooms. Many of these will be the home to ancient technological artifacts, so old that only the Necrons themselves will ever be able to discern their true function. Some will pulse with lights and unknown energies, sure to confound even the most erudite of Mechanicus tech priests, if they were somehow fortunate enough to get their grubby mechadendrites on such a relic. But it would be no matter if they did, for they would never discover its true purpose. Could it be a weapon, or perhaps a tool for controlling the very fabric of reality? Maybe it could even move the blazing stars themselves. However, this speculation matters not, for only the Necrons themselves hold the answers to those questions, and the undying legions will not awaken from their eons of slumber just to cure our pathetic ignorance. Other rooms within the labyrinth will reveal yet more of the antiquated marvels of the terrible Necrons. Strange networks of obelisks will be arranged in a lattice, with each connecting node humming and pulsating with a silent, yet clearly rather potent, energy. These command nodes will act as the linchpin to the tomb's functional operation, with there being untold thousands, perhaps even millions, stretched out across the entirety of the planet, quietly coordinating the continued maintenance of all systems within. One day, they will hum out in unison, triggering the great reawakening of the tomb, at which point they will oversee the reactivation protocols for each and every slumbering Necron, allowing the undying legion to once again walk amongst the living. The obelisks within these chambers are, while quite large by our standards, utterly minuscule when compared to the size of those which we will find in other regions of the tomb. We will find some of these gargantuan constructs with their bases almost as wide as a small void ship, embedded deeply around the tomb, lodged in the mantle, where they rest along with their creators. These contribute to the supportive infrastructure of the entire complex, anchoring vitally important regions and nexus points in place, so that they are not torn asunder by the aforementioned tectonics, which, as we discussed, can lead to catastrophic havoc within the subterranean tomb. In addition, though, they may be used in a manner similar to an antenna, channeling mysterious signals from the tomb up to the world's surface, to disrupt and shield the Necron presence from prying outsiders. Of course, This does not always function as intended, and in fact, the Mechanicus have become quite adept at detecting slumbering tomb worlds since their species began with their mass reawakening. But when the time is ripe for the tomb to be reactivated, these obelisks will play another truly pivotal role. Once the labyrinth is roused from slumber, they will bear the brunt of an immense energy surge, unlocking the stasis fields and defensive fortifications, which keep the Necrons trapped within. Newly spurred to life, the obelisks, once dormant and inert, will begin to rumble as their internal power cells roar from the sheer forces coursing through them. As the subterranean complex is flooded by a wave of raw energy, the vast network will begin to rise up through the earth, piercing the crust and towering upwards towards the heavens. For the first time in untold eons, the colossal structures will face the open skies as monolithic protrusions, dimly gleaming under the harsh light of the sun, casting long, ominous shadows across the desolate landscape. This will truly be a cataclysmic and era-defining moment in this world's history, and once the tomb has awoken, then there can be no going back. For at this point, the Necrons within will be sparked back into life. In unison, each obelisk will let out a pulse of energy, washing out across the world of Volanum, kicking up great plumes of dust and sand. But then, the planet will begin to shake. Deep below, a chain reaction will have begun, with pyramids and crypts suddenly receiving their reactivation signals, forcing the very tomb itself to stir and move. This will be the penultimate stage of the Necron awakening. As at this point, each construct and each building will slowly rise up with the ascending obelisks until, with a violent force, the enormous edifices will burst through the arid hellscape of the desert, revealing the enormity of the tomb for all to now see. Towering pyramids and monoliths will grow as the greatest of landmarks to this world, each to be sided by sprawling networks of crypts, energy nexus points, and defensive arrays of turrets. As the many millions of buildings creep out of the depths below, their dark, angular architecture will rapidly grow to replace the desert landscape, its sands to be kicked up and lost amidst the upheaval. Each building will serve as a monument to the slumbering dynastic lords, who at this point will similarly be ready to awaken to oversee the planet's transformation from a barren wasteland into a world dominated by the cold, unyielding presence of the Necrons. The swarms of scarabs, once confined to the sands, will emerge en masse, no longer tasked with continuing in their ceaseless maintenance work, but instead to assist with the final phase of awaking their masters. The mindless machines will come together to activate some of the last remaining power grids, triggering the mechanisms which will eventually put an end to the great lockdown and open up the tomb to the outside world. Slowly and with a painful grinding, the ancient metals upon the surface will begin to split, and for the first time in untold millions of years, the tomb will be exposed to the open air. The stale, acrid atmosphere of the world will rush in, with scorched, sandy winds replacing the cold and sterile air of the tomb, though in truth, this matters not, for the entities who dwell within need no clean air to breathe. As the final pulses of energy surge through the tomb, the dormant Necron legions, silent for millions of years, will suddenly receive a jolt of life. Their metallic bodies, crafted in the cosmic fires of the biotransference, will shudder and stir as the energies course through their systems, stirring them back into consciousness from the long slumber. The awakening, however, will not be uniform. Some of the Necron warriors, damaged by the millennia of stasis, will rise as broken, decrepit failures. Their once gleaming armor will be cracked and tarnished, their limbs jerking with spasmic, ill-coordinated motions, and their muddled minds will not even be receptive to the orders of their lords. It is important to note that the chattel warriors were always intended to awaken as quasi-mindless servants, entirely reliant upon the command signals from their superiors, but even that which is shackled can still break, necessitating the living failure to be violently removed from the tomb. Yet amongst their ranks, others will rise as perfected beings, their stasis chambers having flawlessly preserved every facet of their being over the millions of years. These will be the lords and dynastic nobles who, with a mind full of clarity and ambition, will now seek to leave their world and to reconquer the old dynastic territories, which have admittedly regressed into a rather poor state since their old golden age. But for their actual figures, their bodies will be nothing short of perfect, crafted of the finest of necrodermis with such robust internal systems that they will be more than a match for even the strongest of mortals to contend against. Despite the vast variance in their condition, the Necrons will march as one singular legion, united under the banner of their noble dynasty. From the deepest of crypts and the coldest of storage cells, their undying armies will march out from the dark to once more grace the surface of their world. For the first time in this period of galactic history. With a terrifying sense of coordination, they will stride out onto the sands, their movements synchronized by the ancient command protocols which govern each and every action they are to take. The once lifeless tomb behind them will now pulse with the rhythmic drum of metal, beat by the necrodermis feet of the nightmarish machines, now hell-bent on their mission of galactic reconquest. Their formation will be vast and unbroken, a living tide of cold, merciless machines driven on by their lords, arisen high above on their thrones, their cold stare betraying the millennia of wisdom, ambition, and hate which still burns within them. As they step out into the sun-scorched sands, the legions will stand ready to board their ships or to enter into ancient shimmering portals destined to take them to wherever the dynastic lords desire. But there is no rush for the tomb world of Valarnum to be awoken, and so, as it stands today, the planet still rests, and the undying legions of the Necrons still slumber deep below the arid and lifeless desert. For the Necrons, time is simply irrelevant. What has passed is meaningless to them. They have endured for over 60 million years, before which they enslaved the primordial gods of our galaxy. And so if they must rest for another 10 millennia, then so be it. Their ancient lords, perfectly preserved within their grand sarcophaguses, will feel no ire at finding that they have slumbered for even 100 million years, as the date matters not. For so long as the legions have endured, then the Necrons may reemerge and conquer the galaxy once more. Their dynasties, long forgotten to the mortal species of the void, will arise as a ceaseless tide of death, washing out to put an end to the pathetic wastrels of life which have come to infest their old territories. And soon enough, even the stars will yield before their inevitable approach. As the undying legions march beneath the burning skies of a million worlds, with their gleaming weapons raised high, then perhaps we will state that they have reclaimed their place as the rightful rulers of the stars, and their lords will be more than prepared to bring about a new age of cold, unyielding dominance back to the galaxy they once ruled. And thus, my dearest friends, we have come to our end. Thank you all for listening to the entirety of this exploration through the Necron tomb world of Vellanum, a planet which may very well hold far more stories, only to be told with time. But for now, I do believe that I must once again close this chapter, and so, as I go, I will wish you all with a very warm goodbye.